You turn in your scriptures to the book of Acts, and the book of Acts chapter 17, and we'll continue in our reading there, and we'll start in verse 16, we'll read to the end of the chapter, verse 34. Acts 17, verses 16 through 34. Hear now the word of the Lord to us, his people. Now while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was being provoked within him as he was observing a city full of idols. So he was reasoning in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be present. And also some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers were conversing with him. Some were saying, "What would this idle babbler wish to say?" Others, "He seems to be a proclaimer of strange deities," because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is which you are proclaiming? For you are bringing some strange things to our ears, so we want to know what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the strangers visiting there used to spend their time in nothing other than telling or hearing something new. So Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I observe that you are very religious in all respects. For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and exist, as even some of your own prophets have said, for we also are his children. Being then the children of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and thought of man. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some began to sneer, but others said, 'We shall hear you again concerning this.' So Paul went out of their midst. But some men joined him and believed, among whom also were Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris and others with them." And that is the word of the Lord to us as he tells us this morning. Paul is in Athens, and he, as he's waiting for Silas and Timothy to come, he observes a city full of idols. And so he says they're a very religious people. They have idols to all sorts of people, even an idol that is named to an unknown God. In case they miss a God, there they put it to an unknown God. And it says he was reasoning with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles in the marketplace every day. That is, we would call probably God's people, the church, or all these in the marketplace he was preaching to them, and so that even the unbelieving Gentiles who would be there would hear. And he was reasoning concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was preaching Jesus to them and the resurrection. And this time he came in contact with the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. And they were questioning. They wanted to know what he was teaching, because what he was saying seemed to be very strange to them, seemed to be new to them. And that's strange to a people who had all these deities and idols that they looked to and worshipped. And verse 21 says that this is what the people of Athens did. They talked about things that were new. They spend their time in doing nothing but talking about things that were new or different. And they loved that. So Paul stood up before them, and observing their many idols, he even observed that one to an unknown God. He uses that as a prime opportunity to proclaim the gospel to them. Because they have not heard of this God who has come in Jesus to in the incarnation and then and his life, death, resurrection, and ascension. They were very religious, but they had not heard of this. And the resurrection they were stumbling over. And so Paul says that this God, this unknown God to you, he is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's the creator of all things. He is the Lord. He is a God who does not dwell in man-made temples. And he needs nothing from you, Athenians, and us, God's people. He doesn't need anything from us. But it is he who gives life and breath to all people and all things. It is he who made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the earth. He determines every person's place on the earth and every person's time in each location on the earth, and even numbers our days. That's God, the Lord, Yahweh. And all of this, he says, so that they would seek God. And he's not far, the Lord's not far from any of us, he says, because in him we live and move and have our being. We exist and we are his children. And being such, that is, being the children, being his creation. And being such, we must know that he is in his nature. He's not made of gold, he's not made of silver or any kind of stone. He's not an image formed by art or thought of man and implied like all these other altars and images and idols that you have here in Athens. And then he proclaims what they needed to do and what you need to do. He says, God is now declaring to men, to all people everywhere, that they should repent because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man, Jesus, whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. When Paul mentioned the resurrection, again, there were some that sneered at him and others who said that they wanted to hear a little bit more about that, about this unknown God, because they like to hear about new things. And Paul went out of their midst. And it says some men joined him and believed the gospel. It names a couple of those people. But for us, beloved, remember that even the most idolatrous person, Jesus, is able to effectually call and save him from the most heinous sins. That's what we see here, that some believed. They were worshiping all these different idols. They wanted to hear about the next idol and the new idol that was coming up. And yet here, even to the most, the person who breaks the greatest commandment, to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, to have no other idols, to worship no other idols. Jesus is able to effectually call them and save them from the most heinous sins, if that is his will. And so you are called here now. Come and do what he is proclaiming everywhere for people to do, and that is repent and turn to Jesus. Whether you're a believer or unbeliever, come and repent and turn to Jesus. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do praise you. We do thank you that you give us here the gospel message again. We thank you that it shows us how we ought to evangelize as well, that we are to look for opportunities and make opportunities. As Paul did here when he saw that these people were very religious, it would have been very easy to just condemn them as his heart himself, his spirit was provoked within him as he was seeing this heinous wickedness that he was seeing and these idols. And he could have just fled from there and gone out, and yet he used the opportunity to evangelize because they were religious. And he used this unknown God idol to his benefit, that he would be able to then bring the gospel message of Jesus and his death and then resurrection to these people. We pray that we would be people who not just sit back and wait for opportunities, but make opportunities out of what you give us and out of what you give us in the Word, which is, that applies to all of life. And we even see Jesus using illustrations and bringing the gospel message like the flowers and things, and using that for the gospel. And so we ask that you would enable us and embolden us to make opportunities to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to a world that is dying, who are wicked and heinous, who are pagan just as we used to be. And Father, we praise you that we have the message here and the call to repent of our sins, whether believers or unbelievers. As we come here today, we know that we have sinned, and so we ask that you would turn us from our sin, and that you would cause us to repent and turn unto you, and be sorrowful and hate our sin, and take joy in the gospel of Jesus Christ, who is our righteousness, and the grace that you shower upon your people, all who come and believe unto salvation. We thank you that you're the creator of the heavens and the earth, the maker of all things, and that you're the God who numbers our days and predestines us or the ordains where we will be in each moment of our lives, and whose authority we will be under and whose authority we will have to rule over our children and as elders over the church and over the church as under shepherds and things like that. And so, Father, we ask that you would be gracious to us as you have appointed where we're supposed to be this day and all the days that we have left on this earth. We ask that we would trust in your sovereignty and your providence, which is always for our good, for your people. And Father, we ask that you would use your providence to warn those who are not your people, for those all things do not work out for their good, unless they turn unto you. Father, we do call upon you this day that you would be with our government, that you would save your elect, and that you would work in those who are in authority over us, in the civil magistrate, even in the church, that you would grant us peace through them, that we would have freedom to worship according to your word, and that sin and corruption would be condemned even from them, and that sin and idolatry would not be allowed even by them, that they would follow your word. And Father, we do ask that you would bless us as a congregation as we have the election of elder and deacon coming up in a week and a half. And we ask that you would give us wisdom as the congregation to decide according to your word and the principles of your word about these men and according to the qualifications that you set down in Timothy and Titus and the rest of the scriptures, that they would be godly men and that we would not ordain quickly any man. And Father, we do pray that you would be with this church and grow us in sanctification and number, that we would be able to proclaim to more people the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we would be able to carry this message to more people, that everywhere the message to repent is going out, that we would be holding and bearing forth that message and testifying of the grace in Jesus Christ. Our Father, we do pray for those who are sick and ask that you would be with them. We pray especially for Kara and Ezekiel, who's teething, and Bob and Marie and others, Father, who are struggling with sickness or ailments. We ask that you would strengthen their bodies and give them hope and strength, knowing that their bodies are not these new glorified bodies, they're imperfect. And yet you have given them to us as a gift, and we ask that we would use them wisely, all of us, and all for your glory. And yet, Lord, cause us to remember that we will receive new glorified bodies in the end, and to hope in those things, and eternal life with you, and we'll be made perfectly righteous forever and holy, and we'll reign with you, and our bodies even will be raised up from the dead because we are united to Christ. And Father, we do pray that you would bless our worship, that you would be glorified, that our singing would go into the ears of each other, as we are called to sing to one another the word of God. And so we ask that your word would go forth and we would hear it as we sing in a few moments. And then also as you speak it to us through the reading and preaching of your word, we ask that you would cause us to have ears to hear. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.